Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome in. This is Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Robin Kurtz with me as always. It is a historic day in professional wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. 19 years ago today, 2005, which we passed. We've long passed 2005, so don't worry. We're not going back and recalling anything in WWE lore. But on this day, 19 years ago, 2005, we saw possibly the greatest three-man triple threat, three-way dance, whatever you want to call it, of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. Main eventing was at Victory Road for the X Division.
Unbreakable.
Then they only did like once or twice for the X Division Championship. Not even fucking main eventing for the main strap, which was being told around old dudes. Like, for the X Division, they fucking rocked it, man. Then crazy. If you could put like how the UFC does matches in the Hall of Fame, that might be the first match I would throw in a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's tremendous. You know, if you've never seen it, definitely go back and check that out, because yeah, it's crazy. And like, you know, the WWE triple threats, they're fine, but it's a lot of, you know, two people just kind of doing all the work and the third person kind of comes in and then they switch. But this one, it's like all three, you know, the entire time. Plus, you know, you look at the three guys, you know, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels are all still going right now. So obviously, you know, you got the longevity too, and it's a great match.
Yeah. I think that, and not to, I don't think anyone would disagree with it anyway, but I think that when you think of TNA, you think of this match and you think of the Triple X America's Most Wanted Six Sides of Steel match when Skipper walked the top of the cage and did the Hurricane Rana. I think that match, but yeah, this match, I think, defined TNA at that era, defined that division at that era. When people talk about alternatives and whatnot, this was a legitimate alternative to what was going on in WWE, because it wasn't, WWE was still the land of the giants. It might still be to a degree right now, even though there's a little bit more versatility and variety in there. But, and you know, I think that it was smart of TNA to do that and to put them on that kind of stage, because they were giving them that platform. Because keep in mind, they were on web shows at this point.
Yeah, they
hadn't. I don't think they had debuted on Spike yet.
No, yeah, they debuted on Spike. I want to say New Year's or somewhere close to New Year's. So like that period where they were off Fox Sports Net, and you know, it was kind of, hey, what's going on with TNA? I haven't heard from TNA in a minute since we got the big bar at the top of the screen, and yeah, so this match was really a holdover. Hey, get ready, because when we come back on TV on Spike, you know, it's going to be something. And you know, you talk about the competition and the alternatives. And yeah, back in the day, like, yeah, if your only alternatives were TNA, ROH, go find independence. And, you know, TNA and ROH back then, such a stark contrast from what WWE was doing. Obviously, they would go on to just pluck from TNA and ROH and emulate it. But, you know, it's interesting, man. You see the alternative men, and now, like, you have so many more of those alternatives, and they're all bustling and thriving. You look at a GCW or what is it, XWX in Germany, or you know, yeah, what's going on in London. Everybody's eating. And it's so wonderful to see in this day and age where if you're able to stream it, you're able to find an audience. So that's cool. And then, you know, from TNA's perspective, like, obviously it's not great to not no longer be the number two, but having the working relationship at this stage that they do and with WWE, like, we're about to see Jordynne Grace defend against Wendy Chu, her Knockouts Championship at Victory Road this weekend. You know, we've seen the crossover. Hammerstone was on last night against Elba Femi. Like, that's a you know, old school WWE prospect. Right there, Hammerstone. So it's interesting, and I'm very excited for what the possibility can hold now that, you know, they're shifting to CW. There's a lot less of a, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like there's a lot less of a rookie up and comer feel to NXT right now, because it feels like there's a proper blend.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that there is a good blend. My only concern would just be that I don't want them to get too overly ambitious with it, because then you're kind of missing the point of it. But I understand they want to get good houses for Chicago and St. Louis. They're loading those shows up, and they want to make the debut show a big deal. That's fine. Just keep the actual balance, like, measured, because you want to make sure that you know what this brand needs to be. Because the thing is, and I thought, and I would say that maybe others thought this way too, when they announced that they were doing Chicago and then they were doing St. Louis as part of the combo deal with Raw, I thought that they were going to, like, take them on the road more. There hasn't been any updates on that or any other ticket sales, I believe. So presumably they're doing those two shows and then they're going back to Florida. So yeah, they can do whatever, but they can't, like, go too crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
establish the forefront and all. But
I don't know, like, you know, if you're going to go on the road, you might as well, like, maybe you're not going to run. I think I talked about this when they announced it. Like, maybe you're not going to run, you know, Allstate or Enterprise or those size buildings. But, you know, you can, even if you want to stay down in Florida, you know, you got some, like, SWAC basketball arenas you could run. You got some Atlantic Sun basketball arenas.
Doesn't Central, like, Florida have a pretty decently sized arena?
Yeah, they've run it before. They ran it in 2016 for a couple shows in January. I remember the
that's right,
the Bailey Carmella match happened.
Yeah,
that's it, right.
I just, even if you want to do, like, regional travel, you know, they did some shows at Center Stage where ECW used to do, even, like, that's even better, probably both for the product and the performers, and to just wrestle in front of the same 400 people every week.
That's the thing, too, because the thing that they're, you know, the idea obviously has to be the fact that they're going to put them in front of a big arena, and it looks nicer that way on TV. It always has looked nicer that way on TV. That's why, looking past the fact that their returns are very bad, that's why AEW wants to be in big venues, because they want to appear to be a big deal. That matters. That doesn't just matter to, like, perception. It matters to TV executives.
And it is much more lucrative for them to be to just shield off the hard camera side than fill up a tiny arena.
And if it didn't matter to TV executives, then primetime college football games would not be in the biggest capacities every single week.
Well, they are. Yeah.
So that does matter.
That's fair.
That matters to the TV suits. So, but that's the thing. It would make NXT look good if it was outside of the Performance Center every now and then. I hope that they continue to do that. If they do that, what will be interesting to see is how much we'll see the investment that they have in the people that they have right now, because it's like, okay, you have to sell tickets then.
Yeah.
Because I think that part of the reason that NXT can be so successful and be so different from Raw and SmackDown, we say it, Pierce just mentioned it, it's the same people every week. They don't have to sell tickets. They don't have any initiative to do anything like that or format their shows like Raw and SmackDown, where you're going to an audience that they have to see Cody Rhodes. They have to see Bianca Belair. They have to see Roman. They have to see on Raw. They have to see Rhea. They have to see Gunther. They have to see Priest. They have to see Liv. They have to see, when he's around, they have to see Seth. They have to see all these other people. They have to cater to all these needs. So the people lower on the cards, they don't get those opportunities because of equity. NXT, they can do whatever the hell they want to, and they can't, nobody can really have an ego down there. It's not meant to be that way. So I'm going to be intrigued on their process. But right now, yeah, I think that it definitely has a different feel from even five years ago, obviously, because they were more like NXT PWG, and even in their early like developmental phases. Like this is, it felt that way for a little bit at the beginning of 2.0, but now they've kind of settled into somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's good.
I agree.
Yeah. Let's start with news for this week. Yes. The biggest news coming out of WWE side is that Raw is moving back to 2 hours. Big applause from everybody that hated the third hour. And then it goes away when you realize that it's just for the duration of the USA deal. Once the current one expires and then the stopgap deal kicks in, I think it was like October 1st or whatever, then Raw will be 2 hours for the remainder of the year until they fuck off to Netflix at the beginning of 2025. So cheers from everyone who wants tighter storylines, boos from everyone that wants to see more superstars. It is what it is for me. It's very easily a take it or leave it, you know, kind of deal. We're only willing to give you 2 hours at this price. And Tripp's probably like, oh, fuck. Imagine if we had a network that we can just throw a third hour of Raw on, no problem. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it?
Well, you know.
I think the overreaction at first was kind of crazy.
I think because they left it very vague.
They didn't leave it very vague. I think that I'll be interested to see if there's any changes that happen on SmackDown. I know that tentatively right now it doesn't look like it, but I also can't really believe that. I can't buy into that because it feels like USA is going to want something out of this, and just getting 2 hours of TV while Raw presumably will be very nebulous on Netflix, where they probably go like, you know, some weeks they could go 2.5. 245, maybe they go 3, maybe they go over 3 once. Maybe SmackDown moves to 3. I think, honestly, if it did, that would help the brand more than it hurt, because I think that this past spring and summer, they suffered from the fact that they didn't have enough time for it.
Yeah.
I think Bayley's title reign suffered from the fact that they weren't able to get more out of it. They had, and they were doing all this stuff with the tags and whatnot. It's not saying it was a mistake. I'm just saying they just didn't have the time. But if you expand it to make it 3 hours, then you do that. And also, I understand 3 hours on a Friday is a struggle. Don't get me wrong. Mm. Next off, I'll just say that there will be probably 2.5-3 hours of college football every Friday night. So they would have that to deal with anyway. Next off, if they want to make these SmackDowns before their big shows on Saturdays an even bigger deal, you expand an hour then. And you make it like a night one situation, like more than it already is. There are benefits to it, even if it's a slog some weeks. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that I feel like it's not out of the question to say that Raw got negotiated down to 2 hours because of the situation that they were in. Because a few months ago, we were all like, wait, they don't have a home for 3 months. So they need to figure that out. And they did. They were probably only willing to give them that. But it feels like maybe in return, they might add that to SmackDown. That's just me theorizing. I know nothing.
Yeah, I don't know if – I don't really believe SmackDown's going to go 3 hours. I see the point for it, but, yeah, I mean, 3 hours, you're on a Friday plus
– I get it, but like I said, if the idea is Fox is doing 3 hours on Fridays anyway, who gives a shit?
Yeah, no, I mean, in theory, it makes sense. I will have to see it to believe it.
Of course.
You know, I think – the, you know, Raw going back to USA after not having a deal in the first place is mostly just NBC, you know, acting in good faith.
Of course,
a partnership that's lasted so long. I'm good with Raw being 2 hours. I also, and, you know, again, the thing with SmackDown going 3 hours is no weekly wrestling TV show should be 3 hours. I mean, that's still kind of a core philosophy that a lot of us hold, I think. And
I get it, but I'm just
saying. No, I understand for sure.
Think about it. Think about it this way. Everybody gets what they want then, because if you do it that way, nobody can complain that the Bloodline takes up the whole freaking show. No, you have another hour to do whatever you want.
I feel
nobody,
you.
Nobody can make any excuses.
The Rock can't siphon off 45 minutes of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
I think just especially, you know, maybe once.
And even if he did, there's still time to work.
Maybe once the Netflix deal kicks in, sure. But I don't think SmackDown's roster is built for 3 hours right now, just to flip.
Well, not right now. I think it's also fair to argue that they might do a little bit of switching before that too, because Raw going on Netflix, it's a big deal. You need people to. It's different habitually. It's different from turning on your television. You have to actually do work to do this.
Well, you got to push one more button.
But it's work for a lot of your
remotes have Netflix button right on there.
Yeah, that's very true. But I'm just saying it's more work for some people. Yeah.
You're going to see the same shit, maybe from a smaller audience because it's not the NFL, but you're going to see the same shit you see when football fans can't find Amazon, or the same shit you're going to see in a year when older basketball fans can't find an Amazon. This is just, it's
guaranteed.
The next cycle in the evolution of television and sports. And WWE is going to find out that, you know, there's going to be a generation of folks, and as much as we try to dismiss them, there's going to be a generation of folks that aren't able to figure out how to fucking watch, or they need help to figure out the fucking watch. Because it's a change of routine, you know. Mm-hmm. Pro wrestling has been routine as hell since the 70s. You tune in at 7:05 on TBS. You tune in at 7 o'clock on USA. Now you're telling me my Monday nights I have to find this Netflix my granddaughter uses to RD Murders in the Buildings on Hulu, whatever. Fucking Orange is the New Black. Like, it's gonna be a struggle for some people. Admittedly, the rest of us are just, you know, boop boop. We're here. And I guess to my point of the three-hour SmackDown thing, people watch shit on tape delay so much nowadays.
That
I understand that live drives everything. And they will pull a number of live professional wrestling on a Friday night, right? I don't worry about that. An extra hour missing the numbers. But anybody that is complaining about the 3 hours on the Friday night or it taken away from your Friday night, guess what you could do all weekend long? Bench pro wrestling.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, I mean, you can definitely watch, and it's easy to watch these shows on DVR as well.
It's even easier to
fast forward through the shit I don't want to watch. If I don't want to watch a fucking Chris Jericho, what's his new trademark phrase?
The learning tree.
Learning tree.
No, shit. he just trademarked like a high something. And I'm
it's high guys or whatever.
Oh god.
Whatever, dude. Like, fuck off. Yeah, if I don't want to watch it. They love the TiVo. The TiVo is big. It's very big in my household. It's not even called TiVo anymore. YouTube TV, maybe Comcast, because I'm going to get it for free. Let's go to Bash in Berlin. It was a couple weekends ago, but we haven't reflected on it. We'll just do that pretty quickly. And I guess, like, what's leading towards Bad Blood. We'll see a rematch with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. I love the touching of the four corners in the strap match. It was a fucking traditional strap match, not this shit Vince tried to put through. By the way, that trailer looks awesome. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
And the only logical place you can go after him breaking the wristband, fuck that wristband, shoving it in his mouth. We haven't talked about Tessitore. Tessitore is a mate. That's how I know Tessitore, once he gets over the humps, he's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Still Drew McIntyre in a hoodie, though. But yeah, the only place you can go after that is to hell. And you know, we're getting Hell in a Cell. It's going to be the blow off. This has been more than an entertaining feud. This has been a feud that, like, I have not seen them put together in a very long time. And in the manner that it is spaced out, yet it continues to dominate week in, week out.
Yeah.
You know, you're not seeing them just fucking going at it every damn time. When they do touch, it's meaningful. And great storytelling by, you know, Hunter or, you know, whoever's putting it together back there. And then, of course, the guys involved have been doing a great job. So, yeah, I'm excited for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the thing is, too, like, with Punk being hurt for 6 months, this feud, you know, prior to a couple of years ago, the response to that would have been, you know, well, do the feud another time down the road, pal, you know. But the difference with Triple H is you know, he was willing to just kind of push through it. You know, you had Punk show up every few weeks to kind of keep it fresh. Drew was able to do other things, but it was kind of always looming with Punk. And then, you know, when he was fully back and cleared, like, it was just able to hit the ground running. You know, I'm excited for the Hell in a Cell match. I think the strap match was excellent. The SummerSlam match, in hindsight, even more now, was very unfortunate. But, I mean, they inserted someone who didn't need to be there, and he kind of took the spotlight. But, you know, it's clear that they have a good feud. I hope they stick the landing. I think they will. They've both obviously had a lot of input. You know, some stuff hasn't worked for me. I don't care about the bracelet. I think Drew does a little too much on Twitter sometimes. But all in all, it's been a great feud.
The bracelet thing has mostly just become stupid discourse online. I haven't really paid attention much to it.
But it's also gotten really dumb this week because WWE needs to sell them for some reason.
Yeah, I don't understand why they did that. Well, I mean, I understand why they did that, but it was shitty of them to do that.
Yeah.
And to your point about Drew, I think he could have knocked off the heel shtick for 3 seconds. Like, dude.
Yeah, I know you were mad that he tweeted at the fan that.
And I would understand even if he was in on it, it's still a shitty thing. There's nothing he could say to make the situation better.
Yeah,
even if he was in on it with her, like, that's just.
I'm really hoping that that's all kayfabe, and then they reached out and talked to her and came up with a deal. Was like, hey, just we're gonna fuck with the fans. Just act like you don't know this is a thing. Please tell me that's the case. If that's the case, then I appreciate Hunter and whoever the fuck else for being so meta that they get it. Otherwise, it's really shitty poor taste. It's some shit that the old regime would have did.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I hope they if that's not the case, then they fix that.
Exactly.
Also, by the way, I love this whole like five pay-per-view matches and then you're out the door.
Yeah.
Be good, five good long pay-per-view matches and then fuck off.
Yeah, and I mean honestly, it's probably how Bad Blood's gonna be. You have at least one Hell in a Cell.
We got three.
Match.
Yeah, we honestly don't need all these Hell in a Cell matches. Like, I'm sitting there like, oh, yeah, no, Rhea and Liv is Hell in a Cell. And it's like, it doesn't have to be, though. Like, you know your big match. You know your main event match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my thing with that is simply just from a political standpoint, they haven't had a women's Hell in a Cell match in front of a crowd in 5 years.
Yeah.
So it would be cool if they did. If they don't and they wrap up the feud tightly anyway,
yes, yeah.
It is what it is.
It's funny that they scrapped it as being, you know, its own pay-per-view, and now they have two matches that are deserving of Hell in a Cell, where, you know, if this pay-per-view was just Hell in a Cell, it would be fine, but, you know, not going to complain about Bad Blood.
I guess it's also like quality over quantity. You got five matches.
Yeah, exactly.
Do two of the five matches need to be Hell in a Cell? You know, I guess it's the question.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, because... You know, if you remember, people were mad that Becky and Asuka and Bianca didn't have Hell in a Cell, and they ended up having a really good match.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, people can still do it.
People were mad in that era because they were just giving out Hell in a Cell matches like they were freaking
Well, yeah, that skin. Too, yeah. Yep. I mean, they had them on Raw and SmackDown.
And SmackDown or whatever. And then, again, they rushed Bayley and Bianca into the Cell because Roman was like, oh, I'm not going to work.
Yeah.
There's only one time when I've been like, man, I'm so glad that we have multiple Hell in a Cell matches on a pay-per-view. And that's when we got the tag team Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Because the only time I've been so happy to have multiple Hell in a Cell matches on the movie. Because it led to that. And it's a classic and it's beautiful. Well, so CM Punk won that match. Before he got the shit kicked out of him by Drew McIntyre, he called out Gunther. So that's a down the line. I think that's... I'm hesitant to say Saudi because CM Punk's had words about Saudi. So that's more likely Vancouver.
I'm betting Vancouver.
Pencil that in for Vancouver and Survivor Series. Kind of like your co-main event next to Bloodline versus New Bloodline. We're all sure that's going to happen. Hey, get the fucking ball rolling on that. You got 2 months. Gunther did beat Randy Orton. In 35 minutes, holy shit! But it was a really good 35 minutes, and love seeing Gunther and Randy together. I think these two, Randy and the style that he works now is so perfect for Gunther. It was a great first opponent, and now Gunther, well, he's not setting his eyes on Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's setting his eyes on him, and rightfully so. Yeah, you just lost the rematch for the Intercontinental Championship, but you do have the number of the dude who has the World Heavyweight Championship. So it makes total sense that we get Gunther and Sami Zayn. It's not announced yet, but most likely it will be for Bad Blood. Yeah, I mean, you got two. I think the two matches that aren't announced yet will be your two main titles, because that match has to happen, and I can't see Cody not being on this card. It's got to be Cody solo, right?
Well, he's facing solo on SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
Cody Jacob, something. It's,
yeah.
There's no reason he does all the shit with Metro Boomin and he's not on the damn show.
Exactly. And that's why I thought, like, maybe Owens they would have, but I don't think they're going to turn Owens at this point. I think they're going to turn Randy eventually, but he's still doing whatever. So it's like, again, there's not like a ton of heels for Cody to face. There's not like a ton of guys that are heated up that aren't in the bloodline. So maybe it is Jacob, but you don't want Jacob to lose yet. I don't think it's going to be interesting, because, yeah, I don't see any way that Cody's not on the show either.
Yeah, I don't either. It's just
like have him and Metro host it.
They could, I guess. It may be lame, but I mean, he does deserve a break.
Yeah. I mean, but he doesn't seem like the person that wants a break.
He does deserve a break.
Yeah,
but he doesn't seem like the person that wants a break.
He doesn't seem like the person that wants a break, but also, like, I just can't envision anything right now.
I also think he's going to want to defend his championship at the big show in Atlanta.
I tend to agree, but, like, also, where?
Well, that's the thing.
Because I want to just be fair here. Like, if you're saying to keep it tight at five, Drew Mack and Punk, Hell in a Cell, Rhea and Liv, those two are already confirmed. If we lock in Sami and Gunther, that's three. Got Damian two Priest more.
Finn Balor is
locked. Finn Balor is wrestling Priest, so you got one more.
Yeah, so probably Cody.
But then you don't have anything else from the bloodline. So, like, how are you going to – because then you don't have Roman.
Yeah.
What if Roman comes back during the cage match?
That's true.
Because he theoretically could. So, okay. Well – if they want to, I guess there is a way that they could put all those elements together, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess Cody and Roman could tag, but
That's what I'm getting at. Maybe.
If Cody and Roman tag.
Because here's the thing.
If Cody and Roman tag, isn't that your main event?
Yeah,
that's the thing too. Because if Cody doesn't main, he opens. And to be fair, with all the other matches, can you really realistically see any of those opening?
No. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we got to see what happens on SmackDown.
Yeah, obviously, SmackDown will tell us a lot.
Yeah.
SmackDown will tell us a lot.
And then, the other two, what's the other two matches? But,
because then also, we got to, Bayley and Nia are going to be wrestling at some point that weekend too, probably.
Yeah. I would imagine.
They're not doing like Atlanta back to back SmackDown then.
That's a good.
That makes sense. Yeah,
good question.
Yeah, let's see. SmackDown on October the 4th is in Nashville.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean it's not far to drive, I guess.
That's not a far drive at all. No.
Yeah. Terra Twins defeated Dominik Mysterio and Liv Morgan. That is leading to two separate matches at Bad Blood. Liv will defend her women's championship again against Rhea, and Priest will get his hands on Finn Balor. Two formulaic matches, I would say. I mean, not much to say other than like the continuation of the Terror Twin bloodline. I'm sorry, Terror Twin Judgment Day storyline here.
I think that at Bad Blood, Rhea and Liv need to tidy up.
No, I think they will.
Yes, they have to. That was lobster at some point.
It's a feud with about 2 years of roots, dating back when they were a tag team at first. They've been doing a lot. And they've had the one match at SummerSlam. I understand they only had one match against each other, but like you've been doing this, like dog chases car thing or whatever, basically in two different ways. I don't see a point in like, I've seen fans and stands being like, oh, they should feud until WrestleMania. I'm like, how are you going to pull that off for six more months? And the popular answer I've seen is inserting Raquel to attack Rhea and cost her the match and make her Liv's heater. I would say that's an awful idea. No disrespect to anybody, but that's an awful idea. Liv doesn't need heel momentum. She doesn't need a heater. And they don't need to just throw a wedge into something that's a very easy decision. Rhea is the most popular wrestler on the planet sometimes. Just give her the title back. It's very easy. I don't see an opening to go past even November. Like if they don't do Hell in a Cell, they could probably do War Games. Fine. But that needs to be the end of it. They can't extend this much longer.
Yeah, I've seen some people say go to WrestleMania, but that'd be
insane. Again, how do you get the only way you do that again is if you add Raquel to the mix, I guess. And I'm sorry, I know Rhea's gonna just beat Raquel.
And they also have a year long feud. No, WWE doesn't do year long feuds.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Like they gotta wrap that up. And I think they will. As far as, you know, Rhea's probably gonna win, what comes next for her? I don't know if Raquel gets back in the fold. You know,
I don't know what comes next. It doesn't matter at that point because she's just finally a babyface champion.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where Liv goes from it, you know? Like she just goes to being heel female wrestler one and doing all the Trish Stratus tropes, right?
Like, yeah, she's gonna be interesting. I think that she's gonna have obviously a fallout here with all the Bloodline stuff. I would probably program her with someone like Lyra.
Yeah,
I would. And also, she did happen to reference somebody who she quote unquote retired.
She did talk about Becky
yesterday. That's true. So that's another potential possibility for her too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure whatever she has generated is going to work because she has a ton of want and it shows. And I think they've done a great job making her like the main character of the show over the past few months. I know people have put her in a box like they do every other champion for every other promotion or whatever. And they're like, oh, she's not defended the title enough, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, man, that's not, you don't have to defend the title all the time. I know people talk about like this conditioning thing and they want to try and sound smart, but like, there's been more TV title defenses in this era than there were in previous eras. So people who are older are not necessarily used to seeing champions wrestle a lot. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Liv does. It'll be interesting to see what both of them do next. Like, you know, that's kind of the big thing when a story comes to an end here.
That's it. And the other thing,
there's intrigue like, for what they do next.
Yeah, and Raw's an interesting scene just because, you know, they're missing someone like Becky who has that star power, but like, you know, Damage Control, they're still unhealthy. 50% of them is still gone.
Yeah.
When they get Asuka and Dakota back, they're going to be a big deal on that show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they got a feud with the Pure Fusion Collective.
No, they're probably winning the tag titles. Mm. I mean, I don't see anyone else beating Bianca and Jade, which to be honest with you, if we briefly discuss that, I kind of get it, but at the same time, I also can't see anyone beating those two, so I don't get why they disrupted the momentum for Unholy Union.
I can understand that, while at the same time, believing that the Unholy Union didn't have a ton of momentum anyway. They held it for 60-something days. It was kind of like, oh, shit, they held it for 60-something days? So at the same time, like, I don't think TV-wise they were given the momentum that they should have. Not to say that they won't get those titles back at some point, and they will. It's just like my issue with the tag team division is it doesn't seem like the division is strong outside of who's feuding for the championships. And that is not a recipe for success with this division.
I agree.
So I'm glad you're doing more of these Pure Fusion Collective matches and Damage Control and build that fucking tag team division so it's stable outside of the championship feud. That's how you give an Unholy Alliance a life. You know, it's not just by keeping the belts on them. Then they just become fucking just placeholders for the belts. You know, they'll get if they do this right, they'll get them back at some point. They'll be even more popular. Everything will be good. I think they have a story that they clearly want to get out the way. It's just a matter of when you get to it and who, you know, when they eventually drop those titles and Jade turns on Bianca, because they're not going to do it the other way around. When that happens, who steps up and, you know, how are they capable? Are they ready? I do think it is going at the end of the day to be Damage Control. But you got to do your job on the other end. Caden and the other one, I can't fucking.
Katana, I think one of them got hurt.
Just keep their regular names. They were fun on their own.
Yeah.
Fuck. Let's pivot to AEW. We had two big pay-per-views. Well, one big, one little. AEW All In is in London. They're never doing Wembley again. They will not be able to eclipse the last two shows. And then All Out was outside of Chicago this past weekend. I think the big highlight for me, and yes, Daniel Bryan winning the championship, totally great. He did fucking wonderful. I think your highlight was Swerve Strickland. I hate to say that because, like, there's a lot of things about Swerve that I just don't rock with. But the man expertly main evented back-to-back big shows, the AEW's biggest shows, I feel like, All In, All Out. Did it in losing efforts and then did tremendously to propel the two guys that he lost to, Bryan Danielson winning the championship, having the big moment with his family. I guess he's doing this whole like next time I lose I retire thing. Now fucking Mox and everyone's turned on him. That's been great. And then Hangman Page and everything with the fake house. I think he actually did buy his actual house and then he just burned the fake house, which is so funny. And everyone just knew, oh, yeah, that's a fake house. Or, oh, yeah, Hangman's burning that. But we knew Hangman had to get his win, and they went to fucking hell in that Lights Out match. So I think Swerve, to me, is a MVP for All In, All Out. It was very fun to see guys like Nigel McGuinness. And fucking who else was in that gauntlet match?
Ricochet debuted
a match. Okada was in that match. I wish fucking Wikipedia had they usually have the list of everyone who was in the gauntlet match, but they don't.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy that they don't. Oh, okay, here it is at the bottom. Zack Sabre Jr. showed up. Jeff Jarrett. It was Orange Cassidy, Okada, Nigel, Kyle O'Reilly, Zack Sabre, Roderick Strong, Mark Briscoe, Hangman, Jeff Jarrett, Ricochet, Christian, and Luchasaurus. So, I mean, a lot of good workers.
Never there. Calling him Killswitch. He's fucking Luchasaurus.
Yeah.
But how many of these gauntlet matches have they done where everybody in the gauntlet match matters?
That's the thing. Like, sometimes it's just kind of people who are just there, but like, that's kind of the thing with their roster too. Like, they have the depth where they can just kind of do this, and it's pretty cool.
It is. What were you guys' standouts from All In or All Out?
All Out, I definitely want to shout out the street fight between Willow and Statlander. Yes. Thought that ruled. I didn't see as much of All Out as All In because I was watching football during All Out, but like All In particular, I think Mariah and Tony had a really good match.
Told a great story.
Yeah. Obviously the main events of both were good. Sting showing up in the coffin match was great. Obviously, you know, the Ospreay matches at both were probably good. He's just very much not for me. I think his entrance and presentation rules. I just can't watch him wrestle.
Guys, did you know? Did you know Will Ospreay is a really big Assassin's Creed fan? Yeah, that. If you didn't hear it, that's Ezio. That's Ezio in the video that just happened.
But yeah, I mean, as far as like All Out goes, I did see some of the cage match. I could definitely see how it was too much for some people. I didn't mind it. I thought that it was kind of necessary with the story they were telling. But
go to hell.
Yeah, I mean,
gotta go to hell.
I'm a little concerned because I don't think either show, I don't think Mercedes had a particularly good match on either one.
Now, the first night.
The first one was not her fault. That was a better match than it should have been, actually, because Britt gave her nothing. But
like she had, it was essentially like Shawn Michaels working with the ladder there. She had to do her own Panama Sunrise. Like that's wild. That's wild. That's great. AEW is finally in a new age of women's wrestling, and I am so happy that AEW gets to see good women's wrestling. Toni Storm, Mercedes Moné, Willow Nightingale. Like, you got some whips now on AEW. Not that old shit. Get that old shit out the way. It's a new era.
I have one confident take that I have right now after watching both shows, even though the person I'm talking about was only on one of them. I am all for Jamie Hayter's 70s look. It looks good.
It's good.
Her gimmick or whatever her shtick is now, it's different. Mm-hmm. I like that. Good. Do something different to compel me.
Yeah, she's someone to keep an eye on, I think, going into 2025 as well. I think she's going to have a big year.
She seems to finally be off the Britt Baker albatross, which is fantastic news for her.
That's great. That's a lot for her. She has a litany of women to work with now. I didn't even mention Jamie Hayter when I was like just going through the list. And I like what they're doing. Like it seems like they're, you know, you're letting Mercedes rock with the TBS championship. She's making that belt prestigious because it's her.
I wish.
And it allows the younger girls to get an opportunity at the main strap. Mariah May is not someone I ever pictured winning a main championship, a major championship in a promotion. And let alone they were able to tell the story, which, you know, it is really like a wrestling 101 one. You know, the student beats the mentor or turns on the mentor and eclipses the mentor. You know, to be able to have that. And yeah, Jamie Hayter is a former world champion. She's going to get another chance at the strap. I feel like they were setting up when Sky Blue is healthy. You know, Sky Blue and Mariah May could be a thing. You know, like you're giving the younger girls an opportunity to make a name for themselves with this main title, whereas you can keep the quote unquote mid card, however you want to look at it as a mid card. I just think it's a fucking championship that has the channel on it. You're gonna have the Fox championship too. You have an FS1 championship when this new show, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, they can rock with that and kind of like the established players can rock with that, and it doesn't take away from what the girls are doing, the younger girls are doing. I like what that women's title picture's looking like. Now when fucking Britt fucking shoehorns herself back into the world title, I'm not gonna be happy.
That's gonna be a problem.
Here's my question. Does anyone know what her contract status is? Do we know when it runs out?
No, I mean, but she was out for, you know,
she was out for a while, yeah. But my thing is, like, I think we're talking about, you know, the fact, you know, they're not what they used to be, and their women's division is improving steadily. And whether it is or isn't, I think that there's some decisions that need to be made. I saw that Saraya's contract was apparently running out soon. If I don't mean to be whatever about it, but if I were them, I would just take the L and move on.
Yeah, I don't think she's worth it.
And I would also say the thing about Britt is that, you know, we can say whatever we want to. When has someone who has ever been clearly discontent with working at AEW come back and been better off?
True.
The when you have people like that in that company, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So don't have her come back.
Yeah, no, I mean, that would probably there's be smarter. No need for it. It did. They did ask about her at the All Out press scrum, and Tony didn't really have much of an answer. She's part of the roster. And,
yeah,
you know,
like, okay, cool. But, like, just keep saying that then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, like, if you want to move on, you got to move on at some point.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the thing is, and I mentioned the Albatross thing with Hayter, but, like, that was a legitimate critique, I think, of her title reign, where she wasn't the focus. And then, meanwhile, you had Britt Baker saying, I don't need to be champion, to the New York Post. Why wasn't Hayter getting those interviews as champion? Again, you don't need people like that then.
Yeah,
if it's just going to be like that.
Well, and I mean, obviously, you know, the landscape has changed too in the time she's been gone. So if she's not going to, you know, keep up with that, then yeah, you do have to make a decision.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, again, absolutely.
I wish, without being callous about it, that's something that I just wish these companies would do more, make decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all have eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We do. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying we all have eyes.
No, and I mean,
see all the shit that's in front of us.
We're going to talk about it when we get to 2008, because there's, you know, about a half dozen releases. And again, that's something they used to just do. And it's, you know, you don't want to advocate for it.
No,
but like, I think both companies could benefit by doing that a couple times a year to just kind of replenish things.
I mean, the NFL, it's bad when they do it too, but the NFL does it all the time.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weaved into the process.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks if that's the process, but
trust the process. All right, let's get to that 2008.
Yes.
Guys, take it away.
All right, we are on the road to SummerSlam. You know, a little bit behind real time, but we'll get caught up. We're good. Not this week, but, you know, gradually we'll be caught up, and maybe by Survivor Series we'll be back on the week to week thing. But yeah, top five songs for now. Top Checking in at number 5, Viva La Vida. Down to 4 is Lollipop. Up to 3 is Forever. Staying at 2 is Take a Bow. And staying at number 1 again is I Kissed a Girl. Top 5 movies at 5, The X-Files, I Want to Believe, which is not good. Down to 4, Journey to the Center of the Earth. Down to 3, Mamma Mia. Debuting at number 2, Step Brothers. And staying at number 1 is The Dark Knight.
I was going to say, Step Brothers being number 2? What the fuck? But yeah, when you put it that way, it makes a lot of sense.
Step Brothers is good. I didn't love
Step Brothers at the start. Like, early in life, I didn't really fuck with Step Brothers. Like, now that I'm getting older, I'm like, okay, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I think in the time since, I've grown to like definitely the other guys more and maybe Talladega Nights, but I also just watch Talladega Nights every time it's on, which it's on like 3 times a week. So maybe that's part of it. All right. Raw from Washington, D.C. John Cena's here. He's getting booed because Batista's from Washington, D.C. and John Cena punched him last week. He's aware that he's going to have consequences for his actions. So like Dave to come out right now, and Dave comes out in a West Unsold Bullets jersey, which...
Nice touch.
Yep.
That was a really good... that is a really good one.
You know, Cena didn't mean to hit him, and as far as he's concerned, they're cool. Dave likes and respects John. When he beats CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship, he wants to defend it against Cena. Cena hates to be the one to tell Batista he's not getting another shot at Punk. He's had 2 already, and Batista can't argue with the logic, but the issue is people keep interfering in his matches. Punk can't beat him, and neither can Cena. Cena said there's still no authority here, so they should face off right here tonight on Raw, and then Shane McMahon comes out. There's going to be an authority tonight. We're going to meet the new general manager in due time. Cena's in action tonight against JBL and Kane, and his partner will be Batista. Can they coexist?
You know, they kind of have me here with a little bit of this story, but obviously it doesn't flesh out to what it could be.
Yeah,
I was getting ready to say, like, it would have been nice to see, you know, Batista turns a couple years ago on Rey, and like, that's a great turn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it would have been good to see him like officially make the heel turn for this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they felt like, oh, Cena gets booed the shit out of.
Yeah,
they won't duel Batista. He's gonna get cheered anyway. But maybe you could have started to, you know, throw in what eventually Batista would become, like some of that me arrogance, because it would have gotten over here. I could have seen him, you know, pulling off that arrogance, and you got what I didn't. You know, some of the stuff that we got a couple years later on down the line once Batista was ready to hang him up. But
yeah. Hey, look at him now, too.
Dude, it's wild. And people are, oh, what happened to Batista? It's like, dude, he doesn't want to be 300 pounds anymore.
Yeah, he's also 55. Like, I don't think people realize how much older he is.
He's 240. He's 240 pounds. And people are all like, oh, he is so bad. And what is your concept body image? with the guy who's 240 and looks healthy as shit, just because he doesn't look like how he used to, wow. Time, what a concept.
Yeah, exactly.
Be happy for Dave Batista, man. It's very blessed to see that man, knowing what we know all other older wrestlers to look like when they're done,
mm-hmm.
and that he is healthy and he is happy and he is thriving in an industry post professional wrestling. Be happy for Dave.
Yeah, it's that great.
So cool. Will I see the Killers game? I don't know. We'll wait till streaming.
Got Drew McIntyre in it, too.
It does. He was not at the premiere, but Kathy Kelly was.
She was.
And Bailey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Yeah. And Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. Santino and Beth defeat D'Lo Brown and Kelly Kelly to open the night of action. Tremendous team there. JBL tells Shane and Batista, or JBL tells Shane that Cena and Batista had their chances. It's JBL's turn. Shane says to take it up with the new Raw general manager who will be here tonight, but it's not him. He got a call from the new GM, and he has to go. Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase were supposed to face Jerry Lawler and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, but the new GM changed it to Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole, and Michael Cole got his ass kicked, so he's not on commentary anymore. But Mike Adamley's here to do commentary with Jerry Lawler, so that's a relief.
Yeah, Jesus.
Kofi Kingston defeats Jamie Noble. Nice match. Probably could have used some more time, but, you know.
I agree.
CM Punk picks the win against William Regal, who is back, but not the general manager.
Nope.
So the plot thickens here.
It does.
Chris Jericho and Lance Cater here. Last week, Jericho was vilified and ostracized because he decided to grow up and mature. He'll never have to settle or do something for anyone other than himself again. So his last highlight reel. He has a video tribute to an icon and legend of our sport, and it ends up being him. Chris had to take things into his own hands, and he did. He threw Sean through the TV, then beat him down at the Bash. Lance Cade tells Jericho that he appreciates him and all he's done for him. Jericho tells Sean to enjoy retirement and that he should wrestle for the title at SummerSlam. Mm. Good luck.
Good luck to him.
Jim Ross is also here now. He was asked to do commentary, but was not told why. Mm. Mickie James defeats Jillian Hall. Cena and Batista agree to stay out of each other's way tonight, but they don't trust each other, but they can coexist. And they do coexist because Cena and Batista defeat JBL and Kane. And the new general manager is revealed to be Mike Adamly.
Good Lord.
And I did some more research on this. Apparently they were paying Mike Adamly $350,000 a year, so they had to do something with him because he couldn't do commentary. Which, again, none of this is his fault. He had CTE, which we came to realize, and, you know, but still. Yeah, couldn't do commentary. And then Vince apparently thought he had charisma like Eric Bischoff, which Jesus. He did not. I mean,
once again, everyone wants to talk about how, you know, WWE is like so much better without Vince and how much time we might have lost without him in power. Well, I mean, if you think Mike Adamly has charisma in 2008.
Yeah.
It's wild because like now we see sportscasters like Joe Tess slide in and actually care about the product, know the product, say able to enunciate the product well. Pat McAfee come in, know the product, push the product, enunciate the product well. Vince was searching for that person to blend wrestling and sports for so long and arrive until he's on the way out or out. The eye for talent is ridiculous. Re-fucking-diculous from this man.
Yeah. All right, on to ECW from Hershey. I believe it would be the Giant Center.
Yep.
It is. Fucking pain in the ass to get in there, too.
It is.
Todd Grisham's on play-by-play because Mike Adamly is the GM of Raw now, so not really much of an upgrade, but whatever. Nope. Matt Hardy tells Mark Henry he's going to beat him at SummerSlam. Ricky Ortiz defeats Chavo Guerrero by disqualification after Bam Neely interferes and Evan Bourne saves Ricky Ortiz. Colin Delaney doesn't understand why Mark Henry abandoned him last week. Tony Atlas said that they wanted him to prove himself and have another chance tonight against Matt Hardy. So Colin Delaney's back with Mark Henry and Tony Atlas. I'm sure that will last. Miz and Morrison defeat Finlay and Hornswoggle again because there's only three teams. And Matt Hardy defeats Colin Delaney, and then Mark Henry press slams him to the floor. So Colin Delaney is not actually with Mark Henry and Tony Atlas again. They fooled him again.
They did. Then we go to SmackDown, also from Hershey. MVP started the night off by defeating Jimmy Wang Yang. Chavo Guerrero wheeled Vicky Guerrero past Alicia Fox, who was still around despite the wedding being over because of that, because that's how wedding planners work.
Sure.
Kennedy defeated Shelton Benjamin, who told Eve he lost because he has bronchitis.
Okay.
Ed said that he has a surprise guest on the Cutting Edge tonight. Brian Kendrick then defeated Stevie Richards, and the Great Khali beat Jeff Hardy. We got good news in the sense that R-Truth is coming back.
Yes.
Then Maria defeated Victoria. The Big Show defeated Domino. And Edge's surprise guest on the Cutting Edge is Mick Foley. He tries to get Edge out of his funk and prepare him for his match against The Undertaker. And Edge snapped and put Foley through a table. This is to write him off commentary because his contract was up and he didn't like the job and is going to work in TNA.
Yeah.
And also, I think that this was an effective segment between the two.
It was.
They had history with each other, obviously, 2 years ago. So you might as well.
Yeah. Foley going to TNA was a bummer.
It was.
It really was. And it's not something that like I remember too fondly. It was very hard to watch him bump around long past his expiration date. Yeah, man, if there was any way that yeah, and history can change itself and he doesn't leave or he enjoys the commentary. Like, I didn't hate Mick Foley on commentary. I thought he had, you know, a fine voice for it. It's just when you got Vince yelling in your fucking ear every day, it's hard to really build the confidence up to be, you know, an announcer. So, you know, it's all unfortunate.
Yeah. All right. On to our first week of August here. Top five songs down, or staying at five is Viva La Vida. Up to four is Disturbia. Top three stays the same. Forever at three, Take a Bow at two. So Rihanna's got two songs in the top four here. So Good for her. And Katy Perry stays at number one with I Kissed a Girl. Top five movies debuting at five, Pineapple Express. Good movie.
Yeah.
Down to four is Mamma Mia. Down to three is Step Brothers. Debuting at two is The Mummy, The Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. And staying at number one is The Dark Knight.
Still.
Yep.
$415 million to this point.
Pretty good.
And we got a series of releases here.
Yes. Braden Walker, who wrestled in TNA as Chris Harris, has been released by WWE. Did not work out. And he'll go back to TNA and be fine.
Yep.
But Viscera has been released. You know, not much there. Kind of wild that he had 3-year run.
Yep.
Domino's been released. That one was kind of obvious when they moved Deuce.
Yep.
Shannon Moore's been released. I mean, he was getting some work on ECW, but, you know, hasn't really done anything.
Didn't Shannon Moore pop back up in the news a couple years ago?
He did something. Let's see.
I feel like I remember looking at Shannon Moore and being like, damn, that's Shannon Moore. Maybe it's not on the Wikipedia pages.
Yeah, I don't see it, but he definitely, there was something with him. But let's see who else got released. Shannon Moore, Nick Patrick, which is actually a big one because he'd been there through the ECW or the WCW merger. Obviously, he was there in WCW for Starrcade.
He was part of
1997.
He was legitimately part of the NWO angle. I mean, he's been wrestling for a long time.
Yeah.
I think if we're talking, you know, referees who deserve a spot in the Hall of Fame, how could you not throw Nick Patrick in there? Nick Patrick has been so meaningful for, you know, a good number of professional wrestling angles and staying power, Deep South, WCW, WWE, a Georgia Championship Wrestling, I think, as well. So,
James Curtis got released. He was one of the pit bulls, I think, with James Bull. Didn't really do anything else. And Nunzio got released, which he ended up having like a 6-year run there.
Yeah.
Coming in as Jamie Noble's cousin.
Crazy. I don't think you can find like, you know, you go around in like indie shows and like, you know, shows with like old stars on there and you see Nunzio, Lil Guido, Maritano. And I don't know if anyone has a bad word to say about Nunzio. Like, I really don't. Like, as a character, behind the scenes, like, it seems like he's just a good ass dude. I remember the story where it was like something happened and WWE was lacking referees. And they're in New York area. He just threw on he drove to the arena, threw on a ref shirt, and he refereed for one on the contract. Just, you know, did it to help out because he loved wrestling.
Hell yeah.
Such a cool ass dude, man. It's still working whenever they do FBI. FBI was at the ECW arena WrestleMania weekend. That was so cool to see. So,
oh, yeah, they were.
Yeah, Nunzio's a good ass dude.
He teamed with Deonna Purrazzo at the Super Show, too.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Deonna Purrazzo was one of the folks on the FBI because they were FBI versus with Savio Vega's group, Los Boricuas.
Yeah,
super cool.
All right, just a couple notes from the Observer. Freddie Prinze Jr. has joined the creative team. I remember that kind of being a thing at the moment. Doesn't really pan out in anything, but Ric Flair is officially done with WWE. Be interesting to see what he does next. UFC 87 saw Brock Lesnar defeat Heath Herring to improve to 1-1 in UFC after losing his debut to Frank Mir, which revenge is coming on Frank Mir. Yeah. Raven sued WWE with the independent contractor stuff, which has been a thing, you know, forever. And there's also a lawsuit similar with AEW right now. So just something that'll always be there in wrestling and never change. All right. Raw from Knoxville. Mike Adamley's here and starts his promo by comparing himself to Ronald Reagan. There's three championship matches tonight as the tag titles, intercontinental title, and women's title are all on the line. JBL's here to interrupt because he wants a title shot. Jericho also does. So Mike's big idea is that JBL and Jericho wrestle Punk in a handicap match, and the person who pins Punk gets the title match at SummerSlam. It's not a good idea, Mike. It's a bad idea.
It is.
Why would they do that? Why would they work together? Kofi Kingston defeats Paul Burchill for the Intercontinental Championship, and then Mickie James defeats Katie Lee to retain the women's title. Mike Adamley thanks Stephanie McMahon for the opportunity via the telephone, and then notes that there's going to be a 10-minute time limit to the Jericho JBL Punk match, and if it goes the limit, then it'll be a triple threat at SummerSlam, and of course that happens, so now it's a triple threat. Shawn Michaels interviewed at SummerSlam. He's going to make a big announcement on his future. Kane defeats Matt Stryker. Kane has a big burlap sack that he carries around now, and it's still going on about this. Is he alive or dead business? And then in the main event, John Cena and Batista team up to face Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase for the tag titles. And wouldn't you know, they're able to coexist and win the titles. So how about that? It's exciting.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
Kind of already did that with Cena and Shawn in 2007, but whatever.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We're on the road to SummerSlam. All right. ECW was in. Come on. Oops. Why did that? All right. ECW, August the 5th. From. Is it unloading? Atlanta, Georgia. There we go. Yeah. Todd Grisham and Matt Stryker are your commentators on this show now because Taz is back on SmackDown because Mick Foley left. So we got Todd Grisham and Matt Stryker, which is bad. Evan Bourne and Ricky Ortiz defeat Chavo Guerrero and Bam Neely. You know, they saw what they had in Evan Bourne. I'll give them credit for that.
They did.
Because they did. Definitely showcased
hard him. Hard not to. I mean, for a second, I thought they wouldn't. But yeah. Like, seriously, it was hard to not see like the appeal of Matt Sydal, Evan Bourne.
Yeah. Armando Estrada defeats Tommy Dreamer to earn an ECW contract, which I was pretty sure they did already, but you know, that's fine, I guess. Colin Delaney helped him against Tommy Dreamer too, so Colin Delaney is a heel now, I guess. But you know, in the past, Armando gave Colin a chance to win a contract, so that's more than Tommy Dreamer did, so he was willing to help him. And then Teddy Long tells Colin Delaney that he's in an Extreme Rules match with Tommy Dreamer next week. Braden Walker defeats James Curtis, and then they both get fired. Not because of the match, they just, you know. And then we get the dirt sheet. John Morrison and The Miz have Mark Henry, Tony Atlas, and Matt Hardy as their guests. It's the first time it's been on television. They've been doing it for WWE.com, and it's kind of getting over. And, you know, another interview show. I don't think we really need that, but it ends up with Hardy knocking out The Miz, and then Morrison goes after him, and Matt Hardy ducks, then Mark Henry gets taken out, and then Mark Henry destroys John Morrison. Well, Matt Hardy just kind of keeps focusing on Miz, so they keep him away from each other, and yeah, it was fine. I don't know. I mean,
yes,
it is what it is. SmackDown, also in Atlanta, like I said, it's Jim Ross and Taz on the call. We open with a Six Diva Olympic special tag match because the Olympics are going on.
Yes.
Maybe next week.
That sounds 2008.
Yeah.
It's very 2008 of them.
Opening ceremony of the Olympics. I think next week we could probably do a little Olympic recap.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the 08 Olympics were amazing. Yeah.
Natalia, Victoria, Maurice defeat Michelle, Maria, and Cherry. Hawkins and Ryder are walking in the back, and they see that Bam Neely's been taken out. Laying out
Black
next
Rose
to
laid off.
Yeah, interesting. There, I wonder what that means.
Seeing Bam Neely on the floor, still got to see Bam Neely. I don't say
Ryder and Hawkins then go defeat Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore. Sure.
Yeah, that was Shannon Moore's last TV match.
It was. MVP suggests that he should wrestle Jeff Hardy at SummerSlam. Eve points out that MVP cost Jeff Hardy match against Edge in Saturday Night's main event. MVP brought up that Jeff Hardy attacked him after his match on the same show. There was a Saturday Night's main event, by the way.
There was.
It wasn't anything.
No, it was not, because they taped the shits.
Yeah. Which, real quick, you know, they're bringing it back for NBC. They trademarked Saturday Night's main event again. I hope they do it in a way that it's interesting. And I think we talked about this a couple months ago, so I won't go too much on it. But, you know, now that we're further down the road with it, it seems like there's one coming in December. I just, again, I hope they make it interesting.
Yeah, I think they will. They for one of those where, like, they got no choice. I think you do Saturday Night's main event in the eras where, or the months that you don't have a pay-per-view. So December, March. I don't know.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy and Shelton Benjamin have a nice little match that ends in disqualification because he was got to go for the Swanton, and then MVP kicked him in the head. Which usually you just push the guy off the rope, but kick him in the head, that's
ouch.
You know. Kurt Hawkins says that he can't find Zack Ryder, so maybe he also got taken out.
Yes,
we'll have to wait and see. Triple H and the Great Khali, who are wrestling at SummerSlam, have an Indian arm wrestling contest, which means your hand goes down into a pile of broken glass, which sounds unpleasant.
It does.
None of them actually get their hand in a pile of glass, and Triple H fights him and tries to get the pedigree, but can't do it because Khali's too big. And then Khali rebounds and gets him in the vice grip, so Triple H might be in some trouble.
He might be.
Kurt Hawkins, who went to look for Zack Ryder, is knocked out with a black rose on his chest.
Well,
another R-Truth vignette. That's good. Chavo's concerned because all of his family's been taken out. Said there's only one person that can help him, and it's Edge. Mickey didn't want to ask for Edge's help, but Chavo said that he would do the talking. Kozlov wins a squash against Jesse from Jesse and Festus.
Yep. And then after we get the Raw rebound, they update us on the SummerSlam card. Chavo said Edge agreed to come and see them, but Vicky has to be nice. She ripped a rose apart and reluctantly agreed. Super Crazy wrestled the Brian Kendrick, who defeated Super Crazy.
Super Crazy still working there.
Super Crazy is still working there. Brian Kendrick also came out with Ezekiel. Ezekiel provided the distraction, and then Kendrick got his finisher.
Yes.
Edge met with Chavo and Vicky. Chavo hugged him, and Edge was all sweet to Vicky. Chavo kept the peace and said, Edge said that they can see past all this, but Vicky was having none of it. And what happened to La Familia will happen to all of them. Edge has a plan, but they have to do it his way. Chavo agreed, and Vicky did as well.
Yeah. And then we do the segment in the ring. Turns out Edge was behind all of it, taking everyone out because he needs to get in the right headspace to face The Undertaker at Hell in a Cell. Edge said that he'll take Undertaker to hell with him, and he'll take the entire family with him, but more than anyone, he'll take Vicky with him. So,
exactly.
That was SmackDown. Edge is going to that place as if he were Randy Orton.
Yes, he is.
All right.
Interesting twist, I guess, on things.
Yeah. Next week is SummerSlam.
Yeah. You're not going to give me anything with Bam Elian is interesting, but still, it's going to lead to a decent match. We'll talk SummerSlam when we link up next time. Yeah, enjoy all the wrestling. I'm at Cameron Santo. Rob's at Robin the 31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Lock in the Saturday night in Hallis.
Yes.
Teams 1-0. Feels good, even though they play like shit for a half. But you know what? No one remembers it when you're 1-0. Boys will be recapping Sunday night's game against the Texans, so stay tuned for that. We also got King's Landing for all you Falcon fans. Sorry. Store, you thought the Kirk Cousins experience was going to be different.
You lost to Justin Fields. Well, you lost
Chris. He didn't even throw for 200 yards. He's a running back. God, fucking, I'm so happy football is back. Tune into all of our content on the Barbershare at Barbershare.net on Facebook, sorry, Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/barbershare digital. Subscribe to the Patreon. Go get yourself some merch. Our merch shop is up and open. Want to see you around this fall wearing your Barbershare hoodies, sweatshirts, crews, whatever. Buy gifts for your loved ones, birthdays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, Mexican Heritage Day, whatever. Just get some fucking merch and support the team. That is it. Forward this aggression for Rob and Chris. I am Pierce. Enjoy the graps. We'll see you later.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.